From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ed Morin with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, April 25th, 2019.
This Day in Maine is made possible by listeners like you and by Red Zone Wireless, providing a local alternative for broadband throughout Maine. Learn more at redzonewireless.com.
Under legislation approved by lawmakers today, most uses of polystyrene food containers will be banned in Maine after January 1, 2021. Supporters argue that the plastic compound commonly used in takeout restaurants and other eating establishments is not economically recyclable and poses serious health risks. Opponents, such as Republican Senator Jeff Timberlake from Turner, criticize the bill as bad for business.
That does nothing to address littering and recycling challenges in this state. It adds costs to small businesses.
The measure would allow the use of polystyrene by hospitals and Meals on Wheels programs. Governor Janet Mills has 10 days to sign the legislation, veto it, or let it become law without her signature. The Augusta Police Department says it's going to follow best practices outlined by the National Transportation Safety Board in a report on a 2017 pileup during the United Bikers of Maine Toy Run. The report said an unsafe maneuver by a motorcycle rider triggered the chain reaction crash on Interstate 95 in Augusta, but it also said the police department and United Bikers failed to mitigate the risk of 3,000 motorcycles entering I-95 without supplemental traffic control or state police oversight. With 1 to 2 inches of rain expected tomorrow into Saturday, forecasters say there could be minor flooding of lakes and streams in parts of Maine. Meteorologist Todd Foisey of the National Weather Service in Caribou says a warning issued for minor Mattawamkeag River flooding may continue into early next week. And he says lake levels are high in parts of northern Maine.
For example, Portage Lake, the level of that lake is getting very high and starting to flood some camps. And we do think the rain that comes late Friday into early Saturday will raise the lake levels a little bit more.
High lake levels have also been a problem in southwestern Maine. The Portland Press-Herald is reporting that around 24 homes, mostly seasonal, were damaged by rising level of Lovewell Pond in Fryeburg, which is connected to the Saco River.
On the next Maine Calling, the study of nature and signs of spring. I'm Jennifer Rooks. It finally feels like spring is here as a new PBS documentary celebrates spring and highlights Maine. We discuss how people recognize seasonal change through the study of phenology. We'll also talk about how citizen scientists can get involved in the natural world. Maine Calling, Friday, live at 1 and rebroadcast at 8 on Maine Public Radio.
This week, a high-stakes conference in Providence is considering new measures that could help endangered North Atlantic right whales avoid life-threatening entanglements in fishing gear. The measures could also challenge Maine's lobster industry, though. Possible solutions range from modifying the rope larcemen use to haul their traps, to trap limits, to seasonal closures of the fishery. Fred Bever takes a look at some of the options.
See, she's going to cut here pretty quick.
Inside the cluttered Southern Maine workshop of a company called Blue Water Concepts, engineer and tinkerer Ben Briquette is looking to solve a fraught dilemma: how to protect endangered right whales from entanglement in lobster trap rope, short of pulling the gear out of the water altogether. His answer is an invention he calls a time tension line cutter.
These are still kind of prototypes.
He holds a segmented black tube a little longer than his forearm. A rope is strung through, and the contraption is engineered to hold fast during the time it takes a lobsterman to haul up a trap line. But if tension on the rope continues for an extended period, such as when a whale is entangled, an industrial razor blade inside the tube cuts the rope in two.
Now the whale, say this is attached to the trap, okay? The whale would be on this end. He pulls this rope off, and he's swimming off with a knot-free end.
There's been a problem, though. Fishermen found that the original tension system was unwieldy, even dangerous, when they spooled it through their power winches. The new version is designed to stand away from the winch. Briquette is testing it out in the Piscataqua River, which divides Maine and New Hampshire.
See, well, it's the first time I've run this device, so...
He drops two lobster traps overboard with the tensioner attached to the rope line. When he winches it back up, he easily hand-guides it past the wheel.
Well, I steered it up over. Just came up through, and now that's going to go right back down again. Whoops.
Oops aside, the system does appear to work.
It works pretty well.
Tim Werner is a scientist at Boston's New England Aquarium. He says there are still some unknowns about Briquette's time tensioner, how it will work under differing temperatures, for instance, and another that he finds more significant.
You want to reduce as much as possible the amount of time that the whale is in the rope.
It's just not known, Werner says, how long a whale might take to work free of a rope that's no longer anchored to lobster traps or buoys. And when it comes to whale survival, he says, seconds matter.
The longer the whale is in the rope, you might have a greater chance of greater injury through cutting action or squeezing off parts of tissue. The time tension line cutter technology, we believe, doesn't act as quickly as, say, whale release rope.
Whale release rope. That's the specialty of another New England Aquarium scientist, Amy Knowlton.
Yeah, so it's 6 feet long, the sleeve. Sorry, it's a little tied up here, but...
Last summer, at the aquarium's outpost in way down east Lubeck, Knowlton demonstrated a new rope innovation to Canadian whale scientist Moira Brown. It's called a rope sleeve, basically a weak link that lobstermen can weave into their trap lines. It's engineered to part at a strength scientists believe right whales can easily break through. Remember those woven finger traps you won at the fair? Imagine a very long one of those.
And if your fingers were the right size, you couldn't pull them apart.
And you freak out because you're like, I'm never going to get this off my finger.
I can just feel a little indentation in the hollow braid, and that's where the next section fits in.
Right.
Oh, that's great.
So instead of presenting lobstermen with the frightening cost of replacing all their heavy trap lines, they could instead slip some of these weaker links into rope stock that they already have. Whale release rope, like the time tension line cutter, holds promise. Yet for some conservationists, any rope is too much.
We need to get lines out of the water if we are going to protect the North Atlantic right whale.
Emily Green is a lawyer at the Conservation Law Foundation, one of several groups suing the federal government for better protections of the whales that they say are mandated by the Endangered Species Act. They want the feds to impose seasonal closures on fixed-gear fisheries when whales are likely to be swimming through.
We have concerns with weak rope. Calves, for instance, may have problems with entanglement, even in weak ropes or breakaway ropes.
Back on the Piscataqua River, Ben Briquette says more radical measures that groups like CLF are advocating, including closures, are on their way. Unless regulators and fishermen alike adopt some sort of near-term gear changes. Just a week-long closure, he says, could be catastrophic.
First off, look at the state. What would they lose in taxes? Okay, now you've got your bait, you've got your truckers, you've got all the infrastructure with it. They're all laid off. Guys are going to start losing their million-dollar boats, repo. Then they're going to go on unemployment. It's huge.
One more gear change that's just emerging could be the ultimate techno fix, so-called ropeless or buoy-less systems, essentially a remote control setup for finding submerged traps and calling them to the surface. But many fishermen scoff at the idea, and even scientists working on prototypes acknowledge it's years away. Meantime, with fewer than 420 North Atlantic right whales left on the planet, a stakeholder group called the Large Atlantic Whale Take Reduction Team is due tomorrow to recommend a set of near-term protections. And federal fisheries managers say that as soon as next week, they will start a rulemaking process for new regulations aimed at reducing whale mortality by 60% or more. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Fred Bever.
A new bill would put on hold recently adopted rules from the state's Land Use Planning Commission that determine where commercial and residential development can occur across Maine's unorganized territories. Earlier this month, the commission approved changes to the so-called adjacency principle, which guides development along Maine's North Woods. The commission says the new rules move development closer to some rural towns and provide flexibility for businesses like trail centers. But some conservation organizations and officials in towns like Millinocket fought the rules, saying they could disrupt the character of the area and harm local economies. Jeremy Schaefer, a board member for Friends of Katahdin Woods and Waters, testified at a public hearing today in support of the bill that would put the rule changes on hold.
We are concerned that some of the recently adopted LUPC rules will undermine the strongly expressed desires of residents in the region to encourage both commercial and residential development in the downtowns of these communities.
Opponents of the bill, including LUPC staff and groups including the Maine Professional Guides Association, say the LUPC has worked well and doesn't need to be changed. An unusual moment today in Augusta as the leaders of two of the state's branches of government testified in support of legislation that would make references in state law gender neutral. Governor Janet Mills cited a letter she received from an 8-year-old girl after becoming the first woman in Maine elected to her position.
Who said, quote, "Now I feel like I could become governor someday." I hope she also feels she could become Chief Justice of the Maine's highest court.
Maine Supreme Judicial Court Chief Justice Lee Softly told lawmakers there's no better time than Maine's bicentennial to start the process of removing gender references from state law. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. And join us tomorrow afternoon at 1 for Maine Calling, the topic, Welcoming Spring. I'm Ed Morin.